As we hear the word hospitality, you may be thinking, well, is that really a spiritual word? Is that really a, you know? Yes. And that's the need to pray, because I feel there's a real spiritual message here for us today, and I don't want us to lose it. Because when we hear the word hospitality, we think of a number of different things. The words that immediately come to mind have to do with an ideal, a definition, an image. What is hospitality? Hospitality is as an industry continues to grow worldwide. You can find all kinds of numbers online. The World Travel and Tourism Council has a report from 2017, and it quantifies the economic and employment impact of travel and tourism. Travel and tourism, I'll get that right, shows growth in the economic sector that outpaces all other growth in the global economy. And so as they quantify this, they say hospitality worldwide generated $7.6 trillion in 1 year and 292 million jobs. So what do we think of? Is it the all-inclusive five-star resort on a sandy beach? I mean, we know that luxury sells. We see the ads. Or do we think of grandma's house at Thanksgiving when we think of hospitality? So whether consciously or not, we have a standard. We have a standard of hospitality that we enjoy receiving. We all enjoy that. But we also have a standard of hospitality we're willing to give. Comfort often is the driver of our standard, whether we're giving or we're receiving. When we were in Ecuador, we would take student ministry teams out into remote areas of the country. And there was one jungle village you could only access by canoe. And they were our host to the student ministry team. But the hospitality from the people in that village could only be defined as they gave the best of what they had. They gave the best of what they had. It took them all day to prepare the meal for our group. Now, there may be some things in that meal that were deep fried, that moved from the unedible list to the edible list, but they gave the best of what they had. The generosity of the host in sacrificially preparing that meal as a labor of love is still imprinted in our memory today. That's the high standard of hospitality. The housing they provided, we affectionately called the Roach Hotel. It was the bamboo hut with the mats on the floor amid the six-legged residents. You know, it is what it is. And there were other trips that were similar. But most of us don't get pushed that far past our comfort, do we? But it's helpful to recognize what is our standard. What's our standard of comfort for hospitality, whether we're receiving it or our standard of comfort of whether we're giving it? Today we are focusing on the standard that Paul gives us in Romans. We're in Romans 12, starting with verse 9. In the Bible in front of you in the pew, for most of me, it would be on page 1101 if you want to follow along, or your app or your own Bibles, or just listen. And I invite you now to be soaked in these words. What does it mean to be soaked in the Word of God? Listen. Let it go deep. Let it go into your heart. This is our message today. If I don't say anything else, this is the message for us today. Listen as I read. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I almost feel like I'm just closed the book and we're done. Amen. But there's some other words that God has given me to say to you today. Paul is giving us a standard for Christian living and sharing with others. He doesn't say anything here about gourmet meals and comfortable accommodations. Paul's purpose in writing this letter to the Romans was to unite the Gentile and the Jewish Christians. Love and action to him was his plan for unity. In this section of Romans, they were instructed in a life that pleased God and sincere love, because the first words were love sincerely. Headed the list. Paul explains some practical results of God's mercy being lived among the people. So the Christians in Rome were called to a higher standard of action, a higher standard of hospitality. The Christians in Rome, as citizens, as neighbors, as strangers, as enemies, as fellow believers, were all called to a higher standard. And I believe we are called to that exact same standard. We are seeing here the list that Paul gives. And so I summarize that list. Let me just review it for us in summary form. Love others sincerely. Be devoted to one another. Honor others above yourselves. Be joyful in hope. Share with God's people. Practice hospitality with strangers. Bless and feed your enemies. Live in harmony. Humbly associate with everyone. Never take revenge and respond to evil with good. This section in Romans 12 begins with verse 9. Follows a section where Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts in the church, they're described, they're listed. And Paul writes that different spiritual gifts are given to believers for the purpose of building up the church and serving the body of Christ. That's what immediately precedes this section that we're looking at today. And we acknowledge that some Christians are given the spiritual gift of hospitality or serving others. And boy, don't they make it look easy? They really do. But this section that we're looking at today is not a discussion of spiritual gifts. So in this discussion of what Paul is telling us today, everyone is to practice hospitality, whether it is your spiritual gift or not. And so in verse 13, which is kind of right in the middle of this section we're looking at, I think is the summary. And the summary that he says to us in verse 13 is, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And why that's such a significant section or summary of this section is we see the word hospitality there. Hospitality comes from the Greek word philoxenia, and philoxenia is usually translated hospitality. But if you break that word apart, philos means affection, xenos means stranger. So when it's translated into hospitality, it means affection towards strangers. Or another translation said, friend to the stranger. So we're instructed to show love, as given to us in this section. We're instructed to show love and hospitality to those who are not strangers and to those who are strangers. Well, who else is there? Right? We are instructed to show love and hospitality to everyone. Last week, Pastor Jeff started a new sermon series called Rhythms of Life, Volume 2. And it's Volume 2 because there was a Rhythms of Life Volume 1 last summer. As we focus on spiritual rhythms as we move into the summer months, we recognize that summer's a time of the year when schedules shift and people are out of school and you maybe take vacation. And so it's a time to explore some new rhythms of life, of what we call spiritual rhythms, or I like to call spiritual disciplines. Some hesitate in the spiritual disciplines because they don't like the word discipline, but for me, I feel like that really encapsulates what it is. It's a spiritual discipline. And we talked about silence and solitude last week. Silence, solitude, connecting with God. And today we're going to talk about hospitality. Spiritual disciplines change our spiritual life because they include ways of connecting with God and connecting with others. There's life change that comes with that. But the practice of spiritual disciplines is not just a list of do's and don'ts. You know, if they were, if the focus was on the to-do, which last week we talked about to-do silence and solitude, this week's to-do hospitality, it seems like we would tend to solicit a response that could be a shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Like, I should do, I could do, I would do, but I don't. So it's important for us to see the framework here, to understand more clearly what are the spiritual disciplines that are not just a to-do. Our spiritual life is not a life that's beyond, that's separate, it's before, it's after. Our spiritual life is real life, lived right here, right where we are now. It's our church life, our work life, our home life, our friends' life, you name it. These are not separate lives. Our spiritual life is where they all come united. Spiritual disciplines are part of that spiritual life or activities performed that unites all of our lives and is filled with the Spirit of God. That's the framework in which we are talking about the rhythms of life. One of my favorite authors is Henry Nouwen, and he has a book, a little book called Spiritual Life. And in his profound way, he talks about spiritual life first is the place of hearing from God. One of the values of Living Christ Church is we will listen to God. And he says a spiritual life without discipline is impossible. The practice of a spiritual discipline makes us more sensitive to the small, gentle voice of God. Through the practice of spiritual discipline, we become attentive to that small voice and willing to respond when we hear it. But then we pick up where we left off last week, because that really speaks to that silence and solitude piece we had last week. And so we pick that up this week with another quote. The discipline of solitude does not stand alone. To create space for God, which is what we talked about last week, among us requires the constant recognition of the Spirit of God in each other. Friendship, marriage, family, religious life, and other form of community is solitude greeting solitude. Spirit speaking to spirit. Heart calling to heart. And Nouwen goes on to say, it's the grateful recognition of God's call to share life together and the joyful offering of a hospitable space where the recreating power of God's Spirit can become manifest. Thus, all forms of life together can be ways to reveal to each other the real presence to God in our midst. It starts with the silence and solitude. It starts with the connecting with God. now and later describes in his writing, he said, without the discipline of solitude and connecting with God, then community, then hospitality becomes a soft word, referring more to the safe and the homey and the exclusive place than to the space where new life can be received and brought to its fullness. That's the spiritual part of the rhythms of life. That's our spiritual life. That place where others can meet God as well. So this is the basis of hospitality. Silence and solitude make space for connecting with God. So we have this connection. We make space for God in our lives. The practice of the discipline of hospitality first begins with God. And then we make space for connecting with others. Hospitality is sharing my life with others' discipline. And sometimes they're divided into these lists of the disciplines or the spiritual disciplines. Some are connecting with God discipline, some are connecting with others. And I say we need both. We have to have both. We invite others into our God space. We bring our God space into the lives of others. The two are connected. And now one is talking about the sharing of space, which just flows out of connecting with God. This is the practice of the discipline of hospitality. This is the framework that we grasp today. It's more than just that textbook definition of hospitality, which describes it as the quality of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm and friendly, generous way. It is that. Yeah, it is that. We like that. But it's so much more than that. The presence of God in us is how we live out the loving of others that we see in Romans 12. So the list that Paul gives us comes, and we live that out of our connection with God. So how would you describe your expression of hospitality? How do you show love to others? Are you free to fully express your love to others? So let's just step into a moment now that's practical, a little more practical here. Because we need to ask the question, what limits us? Why do we feel that little bit of resistance to really loving others? What limits us? So the first question, why does the practice of spiritual discipline sometimes fall flat? Why does it seem like, yeah, it goes for a while? I propose that we focus more on the practice than we focus on the purpose. The purpose is to make space for God. The practice is we enter into his presence. Well, how do I do that? Do I do it, you know, I got to watch my watch. Do I do it 5 minutes a day? Do I do it 10 minutes? You know, how do I do it? Where do I do it? You know, I mean, it's just the practice rather than what is the purpose. Silence and solitude is sitting in God's presence. Sitting in his presence. We can do that anywhere. Sitting and visualizing his love for us. It's not only to hear his voice, as Jeff reminded us this morning, but it's sitting in his presence. Another question. What holds us back from loving others through hospitality? Oh, we have time, or we don't have time, right? We're busy. We're in a hurry. When we were talking about this message earlier, have you ever... I guess I may confess. Have you ever been in a store and you see someone you know and you maybe go down a different aisle because you don't have time? You don't have time to talk? That limits us. There's the art of comparison sometimes results in this. Well, I can't do that. I can't do it like they do it. During my years of working at Nyack College, we often welcome many parents in our home that came from overseas to visit their son or their daughter at the college. I had someone say to me once, I couldn't do that. People live in your house for a week or longer or shorter. If we compare ourselves to others and how they do hospitality, we may end up doing nothing. What's another limit? Self-consciousness. I would say that's probably the big one. Would we invite someone who was wealthier than us with a nicer home than us into our home? Is there a self-consciousness? Being self-conscious means we're not focused on communicating the welcome as God as much as we're thinking about our own status, our position, and the perception of others. What do they think about us? A self-conscious focus is on what others will think of me, my home, how good of a cook I am, the food I provide, my furniture, instead of allowing others to experience the grace of God in our presence. Self-consciousness. Another limit is the belief that it's only those with more that can offer the hospitality. If only I had more house, I had more time, I had more money, I had more cooking skills. Whatever is the more? What is the more? That is not what Paul is saying here in Romans 12. He's not saying, if you have more, love others. He's not saying that. It's not what the discipline of hospitality is. If we set the if-onlys aside, there's still a risk that hospitality is often viewed as coming from those with more. But if you've ever lived or stepped into a culture outside of the United States, you know this is not a universally true statement. I have images of graciously receiving tea from a stranger, the owner of a small shop in the Middle East. He didn't have more. I have a memory of being invited to a baby dedication in a rural area outside of the capital in Ecuador. We were invited into the celebration. We were given the place of honor at the table, a simple table with chairs on a dirt floor. They didn't wait till they had more. Again, we experienced the sacrificial preparation of food that was served with love and graciousness. The true gift of hospitality came when we were preparing to leave, and to honor us, they gave us a live chicken. I'm not so sure that chicken was impressed with the car ride back to the city. That day does bring a smile to my face, but you know what? It warms my soul. It warms my soul when I remember the sacrifice and the love that was expressed to us. That's what it was. It was a sacrifice. It was love. In case you're wondering what we did with it, it becomes part of our girls' story. There's this phrase that you say, you know you're different when, or you know you lived overseas when. You may know what's coming. They finish that with, when you eat your pets. That's what we did. The hospitality or the sharing of grace to the stranger moves us outside of our tribe, outside of our clique. Otherwise, we're only offering entertainment. Hey, we only entertain our family and friends. One writer described this to the openness to the stranger. He says, learning to value the strangeness of the stranger. Yeah, that's rich. We need to preserve room for the stranger in our hospitality. The practice of hospitality cannot depend on only shared views or values. You know, it's possible it's easier for you to entertain your family and your friends than the stranger. I get that. But you know, it may be difficult for you to do that as well. There are various levels of comfort there. So as we move into a place of responding, do we stay the same or do we respond? We said at the beginning that the practice of spiritual disciplines will change us. The practice of hospitality and loving others will change us. So steps of responding. I invite you now to take the only life you've got, which is all of your lives together, your ordinary real life, and place it before God as an offering. There's a surrender piece here that starts out the life change and starts the response. Ask God to help you love in a new way. Hey, we're not doing this on our own. Connection with God, loving others. Ask God to help you love in a new way. And what is God saying about where do you need to up your game? And if you don't know where that is, ask. Ask him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. I was traveling recently, and I was meditating on this portion of Scripture because I knew this Sunday was coming. And I became so aware of the interactions we have with people, the number of interactions we have within a day, within a week, within a month. And we can show hospitality and love to everyone with which we interact and which we cross our paths. It's honoring the other person. Connecting spirit to spirit. You bring your God space into their space. The tone of voice we use, the words we use, the affirmations, the encouragement. Be a good hostess in the space in which you find yourself. Is it walking through the grocery line and not saying a single word to the person behind the counter because they don't say a single word to you? No. Bring God into that space. And that doesn't mean you stand there and preach the gospel. Could be, but it's not necessarily. You're bringing God into that space. Visualize it as that. So it's creating that vision. Be present, I think, is what I'm trying to say in all of that interaction. Be present. Eye to eye, spirit to spirit. Listen, be attentive, be present in your interactions. And then invite others into your God space. Love them well. And if as we think through these responses and respond here, if it's still a little bit foreign to you, what do I do? Go back and meditate on this section in Romans, because Paul tells you straight out, something has to change. He's trying to unify the Christians in Rome, and he brings them this list. We have that same list. Now, normally I would end right here, but I feel like there was a need to bring just a little bit of the practical into this ending. Like, if you're still kind of a little bit wondering, well, I still don't know how to do this. What do I do? I want to just leave you with just a few possibilities. And it does start with a connection with God. Last week we were challenged at the end of the service. Increase our time connecting with God in silence and solitude. There's an action. There's an action step. Increase our awareness of others. Eyes open. Be present. Partner with those or join with those who are already meeting other needs. Sunday evenings are serving a meal downstairs to those in need. One of the small groups in this church is on the rotation of providing a meal. There's places, there's things already happening in this town, in this area, meeting the needs of others. Ask around. Do your research. Find that place. Join. You don't need to create something new necessarily. Join what's already being done. Partner with those who practice well hospitality. You know who they are. Ask them if you really want to up your game. Maybe it's I need to work alongside someone for a while. Ask if you can partner with them. There's the 21 meals in a week challenge. Choose one, share it with others. Then there's the dream and the pray. If you really don't know, dream, pray, and go spend time with someone else today. We're going to move into a time of worship. But keep listening. Where's God telling you to up your game?